back to another episode of Defend the Nest. This is episode 3 for the 2025-2026 season. I still keeping my promise, but yes, I'm a little bit delayed between episodes. Sorry about that. I have been keeping up with doing all the post-game recaps, though, so if you're keeping track of those, kudos to you. Thank you for reading my work. And thank you for critiquing as well, those out there that are correcting me on certain things, such as Bianca Patuka actually not being up with the big club, being in Tulsa. I did not see when he was assigned, so I just assumed he still was. So, recapping the last four games since I last did a podcast. Four straight losses, so you can see why I haven't done a podcast. And I was starting to feel a bit down on it, but realized when I dug a bit deeper that really the goals have come up against the top of the division in those last four games. So Henderson, I mean, okay, I admit I need to eat my own hat, because yes, it's on audio, it's all there, that I said I don't think they'll be good this year, and I'm completely wrong. They are actually better than good. They are possibly division leading contenders. And it's just, it feels like they're a mix of veteran and heavy, essentially, which is essentially what Colorado as well is. And it's the kind of style the girls have never been able to match. So, yes, there was a 4-3 loss to Henderson. That was not over, yeah, that was not overtime, that was in the regulation. So they did a right on that one, I believe. I'm struggling to remember. I'm just going to go back to my notes on that one. It was a high scoring game, so that was fun. But my notes pretty much detail there was just a bit of inconsistent play. It was the home opener, so a bit of home opener jitters. It felt like they could have beat them, but they just sort of let themselves down. And it was a common trend that we saw throughout the next three games after that, that just breakouts were a bit too slow and allowed the Silver Knights to get in and force turnovers. What else did I say after that one? I had a bit of whimsical thinking in terms of just watching Tristan Luneau skate his way through people and do what he wants to do on a minute-by-minute basis, essentially. Thinking he's not going to be with the girls long-term. I wasn't even expecting him to be with them this season. So when the Ducks eventually make room for him, it's going to hurt when we lose him. And I'm not entirely sure if Terrence Smith, who is due to come in next year, will be ready to jump in and completely fill those big shoes that he would leave. It's a lot to put on the kid, but he is that next style of puck rushing defender that's next in the pipeline. What else have we got? And then, yeah, that's about it, because I had a very early standings and stats look, and that was way back then, so those are out of date now. Moving on to the next one was a loss to the Eagles, which essentially was a 1-0 shutout because the Eagles got an empty netter towards the end. So I give the girls kudos. I give them big... I'm struggling for words today. Kudos, big congratulations for sticking with the Eagles for the entire game, essentially. They've always been tough to play against. They play a neutral zone trap. Boring hockey, as I've said over and over and over. I hate when the girls play the Eagles because it's boring hockey. That one actually wasn't too bad, because I know other people have always disagreed with me when I say it's boring, but I guess there is that, what you call it, intensity factor of just being anxious the entire time. Are they going to score? Are they going to score? And then just being let down when they never do, because they just clog the zone, don't allow them to come through with any speed, and in the very remote chance they do get set, it's basically one chance and then it's broken out again. So they're just a really good team, and they always have been, regardless of whether Colorado's playoff contenders or not, which they currently are. It's, I don't want to say it's unfair, but it kind of is. It kind of, we'll get there eventually. So my post game notes on that one, what do I say there? Klang was playing that one too, wasn't he? Yeah, no, Huso played that one, my bad, sorry. Post-game notes, coming down. Yeah, my first one is saying stop pinching Steon. So the Colorado goal was as a result of Steon Solberg doing a really weird pinch where it was earlier in the game. I think it was right near the start of the first period. Roland McKeown had come in on the right side to come down and pinch and keep a puck in, and he did it correctly. And the forwards came in and supported. And then for some reason, Solberg came down to sort of the left circle and just hung there as if he was waiting for a pass or a loose puck to pop out. But it didn't. It went to the left wall where he went in to engage with the player there, but it was too slow to have to do that, and the puck got past him and the breakaway goal, essentially. Yeah, so it's growing pains for him. He's been much better since then, but he's really got to get his timing right, because on games like that where it's a goal, one goal game to decide, and it shouldn't have to be that way, because the girls need to start finding their offense, especially against these really good teams. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that can cost you the game. My second point was saying, basically, I'm slowly learning that the Pacific Division is tough again this season. I mean, we always knew Colorado were very good. I've said that ad nauseum over and over. But I guess I was still reeling from the fact that we'd shut out the Firebirds in a very easy 5-0 win, and then just got smacked by both the Silver Knights and the Eagles. And the Silver Knights, I was expecting that one to be a win. So, I took away from that the fact that at least they were one goal games. Like, the goals weren't blown out in either of those games, so that's good. And the other positive was that thus far in three games, so far at that point, all the lines had stayed the same. So, lines are gelling, chemistry is developing, if not already there, and McIlvaine is keeping everything consistent. He has juggled a bit since then, and we'll get to that. So the next one was Henderson at home. First of a back, oh no, not at home, sorry, in Henderson. First of a back-to-back. The Nevada road trip. How did you guys go if you went on that road trip? Let me know. Was it a good time? It looked like it was. And yeah, so that was an overtime loss. The girls did pretty well to hang in that one. I think I'm pretty sure I noted that it seemed like neither team deserved to win that one, because the girls had the lead going into the third, but gave it away. And then when Justin Bailey thought he had the game winner, I can't remember if that was overtime or just before the end of the third, it was waved off because the net was off its moorings and had been for quite some time. And upon replay, it showed that the goalie himself had knocked it off. So really, that should have been the girls' goal and win, because it wasn't their fault. But that's the AHL for you. And anyway, they didn't, like, yeah, given that they gave up their lead, it doesn't look good for them either in terms of deserving that win. Post-game notes for that one, I said, the power play sucks. It still kind of sucks, even though they did get one in that last one. And I don't know what's up with that, because I've got, on paper, they should definitely have a really good power play. So it feels like that's an early season thing that needs to be ironed out. You'd think that I've had enough practice given how much they've been on the power play lately. But to me, it looks like they need to go back to basics, get something going, and then they can revert to trying to do the fancy, get passing it around the perimeter. Or just more movement, because teams are just figuring out that it's too static and just pressuring them on the sideboards and then forcing the turnover and getting it out. So yeah, they're not really able to get set, and when they do, they're being pressured immediately. So you can see Sidorov was trying to correct that himself at points during the last game, where he was just sort of going for a wander, skating around the zone with the puck, and it seemed to confuse the rest of his teammates, so that wasn't great. But yeah, something needs to be done regarding that. The penalty kill, by contrast, is very good. At the point of that last game, it was erasing penalties at a 90% rate and had allowed just the one power play goal in 10 chances. And perhaps the most surprising turnaround, the goals at that point were the second least penalised team in the league. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but that's still pretty amazing. And yeah, it's becoming quite noticeable if you watch the games that they're getting more power plays than they're getting penalties, which is currently not great because the power play is not very good. But long term is what you want. It's the position you want to be in. So that's really good. And my final point that I made was, and I've been wanting to say that for a while because I've noticed it, Cal Burke is really fast. I did not expect him to be that fast. He is very fast. And now it makes sense that he was a very late cut for the Penguins training camp, and that's how the Gulls managed to snag him on an ATO AHL deal. Because, man, that guy is fast. He just makes people look like they're standing still when he goes past them sometimes. And then that brings us to the final game that we've just seen, which was another loss to the Silver Knights, but worse this time. 5-2 loss in a game that kind of got away from the Golds in the last period and was just frustrating overall. I stopped watching, I think. Well, I was watching, but I wasn't really doing my usual writing too much about it because it was just too depressing. When the Silver Knights kind of got there, I think I stopped watching the start of the third, actually. Yeah, because it just seemed... Oh, that was the frustrating thing. It's just the Golds were just letting individual players just do their thing, get around them, go through them, and then get past Huso. So it was just terrible all overall, forwards, defense, and goaltending. I will give them that they did play well in the third and probably played some of the most consistent pressure hockey they have all season, especially against a good team. So that does bode well for the future games coming up, and just maybe just some lessons learned. And I hope they go back and look at tape for all the games that they've just played, just to see what they need to correct and in which areas. But yeah, again, I noted that they were too slow in transition. It seems to be the main reason they're struggling on offense. It's just they're struggling to get pucks out on the breakout. Not as bad as last season. It's at least it's getting out now. It takes maybe one or two attempts, or sometimes it's just straight away. But once they get it through to the neutral zone, they're really struggling to get any kind of speed going. And that's, yes, I know, mostly tactical from other teams, but they need to figure out a way through that. And yeah, that's why they're not really generating much offense, because they're not getting into the offensive zone with speed or time and space. And if they do somehow manage to get into the offensive zone with time and space, they seem to sort of just slow up and not sure what to do with the puck, and then they get caught up to it and it's plays broken up. So yeah, completely frustrating. The second point I made was possibly the most fun part of that game was Stian Solberg just showing more and more signs of him being that physical defender that the Gulls drafted him for. Gulls? Ducks. We've all seen the highlight reels of his pre-draft where he was just standing up adults in the Swedish league? I'm blanking on what league he was playing in. But absolutely, yeah, just standing guys up. He was reverse hitting open ice hits at the blue line, stand-ups. No boarding. He didn't do any boardings because he definitely would have got called for that, but I'm trying to think back. He didn't. So it was super fun to see, and it reminded me a lot of Simon Benoit. So I started the Solberg smash, which I haven't done for a while, not since we lost Benoit, essentially, which was, you know, originally the Benoit smash. So yeah, looking forward to more of that in the upcoming games. And I did a another reiteration of what I've been saying. This four-game losing streak could be put down to just coming up against really good teams. And is this an early look at what new divisional opponents are like in terms of not new, but sort of new look teams? Colorado hasn't changed, but so the Henderson Silver Knights definitely have. They have added more veterans, more weight, and I don't know much about their players. I know Lucas Collier is good, but yeah, they've added a whole bunch of guys that are both fast and heavy. It's kind of exactly like Colorado's got, and it's pretty much what I guess every team is trying to do now in the Pacific. So that said, one final point, there may be possible help coming in a forward, because that day the Ducks activated Jansen Harkins from IR, but at the same time Michael Granlund left, or Mikhail Granlund left the game in Tampa with a lower body injury. Don't know what his status is currently, haven't been keeping track. Chris Kreider is day to day with an illness as well, while Ryan Strome is on IR. But Granlund and Kreider can't be day to day for that much longer. They should be back within a week, if that. So when they do, I think the Ducks will have to send a forward down. And the only two that have the kind of waiver status needed is Nikita Nesterenko and Sam Colangelo, both of whom are playing really well for the Ducks, and it's not really fair they get sent down, but that's how it works. So it'd be very nice to have at least one of them, or even one of the vets, on a conditioning stint. And it's, yeah, that'd definitely help. I mean, the goals depth isn't bad right now. I actually think Drew Elliott and Owen Lindmark are actually pretty decent fourth liners, and deserve to be with the team. And they're just, yeah, it's a matter of time actually before Elliott gets a goal. He's playing really well. But it just really helped to have an NHL skilled player to help with the scoring that's not really happening right now. Yeah, so looking ahead, the next game is against the Barracuda on Wednesday. And the last five games, the Barracuda have managed to beat Milwaukee. What, a win and a loss against Milwaukee. And just double checking these things. A loss to Coachella. Wow, they lost to Coachella. Okay, that's interesting. And a loss to Bakersfield, and an opening win against Bakersfield. So they open the season with a back-to-back against Bakersfield, win and a loss, and a loss to Coachella, a loss to Milwaukee, which was a drubbing, 6-2, and then a 3-2 win of Milwaukee. So it's typical Barracuda, where they're just Jekyll and Hyde. Really don't know what you're going to get. So my hero is hoping, given that they lost to Coachella and the girls absolutely smashed Coachella, they're going to get the bad version, hopefully. Though they do have some good players on that team. So, yep. I don't know how that one's going to go, but the girls desperately need a win. So here's hoping we get one, and a nice one like we had over Coachella. And speaking of which, that's their next game to close out October. That is on Thursday, so back-to-back, Wednesday and Thursday. One's at home against the Barracuda, the next is in Coachella, where the Firebirds will be looking to get revenge for that home opener where the girls smashed them. Since that game, why are we not included on this? Sorry, I'm just looking at their last five games and it doesn't show the game against the girls. Have they played that many already? They lost to Colorado, and then lost to Bakersfield, beat San Jose, beat Calgary. Calgary's surprisingly not that good this season, and lost to Calgary. So they're still not looking that great. I think the girls are in for a win there, hopefully. So I don't want to jinx myself like I did last time, but Here is hoping that the girls can close out this month with two wins. It's looking much more likely than those last few games. Lesson learned, Henderson is good this season. And we always know that Colorado is good too. That's all I've got to say. If you have any other questions, I'm sort of running out of things to talk about. That's also why I haven't done many podcasts. So feel free to fire questions at me, even if it's just to ask, why do you sound funny? Or you can ask about other stuff. Why am I not always able to cover games? What do I do when I say that I'm flying? All of that. Alrighty. Have a good rest of your days. And thank you for listening. As always, you can find me on defendthenest.com, on Twitter, refuse to call it the X thing, at defendthenestsd. I'm now on Instagram, defendthenestsd. And Facebook, as per usual, haven't updated that in a while, but it's there. And Reddit. So yeah, thank you so much, and go Gulls!